About time. David finished his breakfast.
You can have mine as well.
What?
Well, look at the time. Morning.
Morning. I don't think I can manage any more, Mum.
What's the matter? Aren't you feeling well?
Well, fine.
Has the post come?
I don't think so. Did you look, David?
No.
I'll go. There might be an interesting soap coupon, or even a free record from somebody.
I doubt it. They seem to have stopped sending them. Hold out your plate.
No, Mum, really. I've had enough.
Let me feel your forehead.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Come on. I know I haven't the cool, sensitive fingers of matron, but I know the temperature when I find it.
Well, I don't need two breakfasts. It's a moral apart from everything else.
What?
When you think of people starving in the third world.
You really take after me, David.
Do I?
Shula doesn't. She'll eat a pound of fillet steak and never give the third world a second thought.
Well, there's no use being pompous about it.
I wish you'd been home more. I've been a lone voice in my fight to turn Borchester grammar into a comprehensive. Your dad says the government's worse than the Visigoths. And you know what Shula calls Shirley Williams.
Nothing exciting, I'm afraid. Can I have some coffee?
I thought you were in a hurry.
I can't go without coffee. Here you are. Good luck.
Thanks.
I might be late home tonight, Mum. Simon's threatening to take me out.
That means your dad'll be in a foul mood till you get in. You really are thoughtless.
I can't help Dad, can I? Well, what does it say?
B for economics and C for geography.
It was much easier when you were going out with Charles Hodgson.
David, what's that? His results.
Oh, goodness. Well, what does it say?
As I thought. I did tell you.
Oh, David.
I've failed maths.
Oh, dear.
Which means I shan't be able to go to university this autumn after all.
Ah, that's right, Tom. Nora said he could dump some timber in the shack. Seasoned oak, I think it was.
Were you there when he came and collected it?
Oh, I don't think he did collect it himself. Nora said Nelson came round in that big Yankee shooting break he drives.
Oh, did he now?
He wasn't too pleased either. All in planks of wood all the way up our garden.
That shack, though, ain't it really on the estate proper?
Mm?
I remember storing pheasant gear in it at one time.
Oh, yeah, but Nora took it over when she started gardening. At least she cleared a corner for her tools.
So Nelson could have come for Walter's timber and picked up a case of tinned herrings as well, thinking they belonged to his dad.
He could have.
Oh, I don't know. Everybody's been making a mystery of those herrings, and the aunt has been staring them in the face.
Oh, no, hang on. There's a flaw in that.
Well, I can't see it.
Ah, but you see, it needs a trained mind backed by CID experience and a course on modern techniques in crime detection. It's only a small point, but it's the sort of thing juries get worried about. And when juries get worried, you'll never get a conviction, as any copper will tell you.
Who's talking about convictions? All I'm saying is the herrings could have come from your shack.
Except that we never had any herrings in there.
No, but...
Not in tomato sauce, olive oil, or even swimming about in a fish tank. Hey, I don't know, Tom. It's lucky you're not wanted to be a CID officer. You'll be back pounding the pavements for the next 10 years.
Have you finished?
Yes.
Because I was going to say that somebody else could have put the herrings in that shack without you or Nora knowing.
Eh? But who?
Well, now, perhaps you ought to put your trained analytical mind to work. Now, where did you last see folk tucking into herrings, eh? And what's even more important, when?
Are you terribly busy, Paul?
Well, I am, but I can take 5 minutes.
Good. I brought you some coffee.
Oh, thanks. Well, darling, how'd you like being my secretary come coffee maker come office cleaner?
It'd be fine if I didn't have to go and work at the stables.
Oh, why don't you there now?
Oh, Trina can cope till 11. I just wondered if you'd found a new site yet.
Not quite.
I know you looked at a couple of places yesterday.
But I've got to collate all the data, water flow, chemical analysis, you know that, darling.
Yeah.
One place looks quite hopeful. A site near Netherbourne I looked at on Tuesday. Old man Banks has suddenly come down in price.
Has he got planning permission?
It's an agricultural unit, so it won't need that.
But you need a license to use the water and discharge it after use.
It'll all be taken care of.
I see. Oh, well, the money from the paddock ought to keep us going for quite a while.
You haven't much confidence in me, have you?
Oh, Paul, you gave up your job because of this wonderful opportunity to go into business with Jack Woolling, using the old fish hatcheries and sewage tanks.
You know what happened.
I know the whole thing collapsed before you even started. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
Chris, come back.
Can I come in?
Oh, Jack.
Oh, I did knock, but nobody heard me. Not interrupting anything, I hope?
No, of course not. We were just having coffee.
I'll get you a cup.
Oh, thank you very much. Tom tells me you're looking for a new site for your fish farm, Paul.
I think I found one, and it's ideal. Good head of water, so no need to dredge out a channel, and the farm is very keen.
I see.
Tom was saying you might go ahead with a fish hatcher on your own account.
I went and had another word with Lord Riley. He advised me against it, said everybody was jumping on the bandwagon and most of them will come a cropper.
I don't suppose he wants competition.
Perhaps. Anyway, I wasn't asking on my behalf, but on yours.
Mine? I thought after our discussion last night...
I told you to stop work until we'd reached a proper agreement, that was all.
I can't afford to hang about.
Right, then. I'm not prepared to put a penny piece into your scheme, but if you want to rent the hatchery and half an acre of land round it, you're welcome to. We can have the agreement drawn up for Monday.
Honestly, Jill, it was such a relief. Paul was trying to put a brave face on finding another site, but we both knew it was hopeless.
But you say Jack will won't put any money into the venture.
No, but at least we can have the tanks and pools. It shouldn't be that expensive to get the thing going.
When will you start to make money?
Just over a year's time.
What?
Want a cup of tea?
Please. But haven't you any pupils coming?
Half past. Fish farming really is farming, you know. The whole process seems geared to the season.
I don't know of any crops that take more than a year.
We start with eggs in November. They become what's called fry. Little fish is about 2 inches long in March, and they've grown to about 10 inches by October.
So Paul can't actually start until November.
It only gives him a couple of months to get the place organised. He's looking at portable buildings this afternoon.
Oh, thanks.
So we're wondering how we'll manage.
No, of course not.
Oh, Jill. I've an income from this place, and we'll have to use some of the money from the paddock.
But will that leave enough for portable buildings and sinking boreholes and everything?
If it doesn't, Paul will have to talk his way into a bank loan. He's pretty good at that sort of thing.
I see. Well, at least you're looking on the cheerful side. Brookfield's covered by a huge dark cloud at the moment because of David's exam result.
Oh, of course. Mum was saying he failed one subject.
Maths. You know he had a provisional place at Reading University.
Estate management, wasn't it?
Whatever that means. I asked him precisely what he'd be doing, and he told me he'd be studying the analytical basis of environmental economics and the spatial organisation of economic property markets.
Very impressive. Won't they take him without his math?
No. He only needs a D grade, which ought to be easy, but they won't take him without it. We're trying to find out when he can take the exam again.
Hello? Anybody there?
Oh, that must be my next pupil.
Well, thanks for the tea.
There you are. Hello, Jill.
Lillian.
I don't believe it.
Where on earth have you sprung from?
I just thought I'd return Tony's flying visit and see how you all were.
Does your mum know you're here?
Not yet. I've got James in the car.
And where's Ralph?
He didn't want to come. Goodness, it's wonderful to be back in the stables. Do you think I could take a lesson later, after I see mum?
Of course you can. If you're feeling that nostalgic, you can even muck out.
No, thanks.
But Lillian, didn't anyone know you were coming?
Only Tony. I phoned him from the airport.
Walter! Door's open anyway. Just as well he hasn't much in the way of valuables.
Best not let him hear you say that. Oh, look. Oh, just listen to him.
He is just asleep, Tom. You don't think he's in pain or anything?
Oh, no. You should hear what Aidan Evans has to say about Walter snoring and muttering.
That's horrible, that is. Tom, I don't think I want to hear any more of it.
Steady, George. Your next copper, remember. Hard as nails.
Oh, aye. Well, can't you wake him up?
I can try. Walter, come on. Wake up.
Ecky thump. That's done it. You've killed him.
Of course I haven't. Walter, wake up. Oh, I don't know.
Where are those herrings, anyway?
Well, Laura said he kept them under the stairs.
Aye. Well, look, there's a box there. Let's have a look.
Walter! Wake up, man!
What's the matter?
Well, we want to talk to you.
Oh, can't the chap have his 40 winks after dinner? I'm a serious citizen, I am. I need lots of rest.
You can go back to sleep in a minute. We've come about your herrings.
Eh? What about me, Erin?
Afternoon, Walter.
George Barford? I hear you're in my stuff alone.
Now, take it easy. We've solved your mystery for you.
Well, at least Tom has. You ought to be in charge of the regional crime squad, if you ask me.
Oh, what did you find out?
Well, it wasn't difficult.
Deduction, Walter. Understanding the criminal mind.
Yeah, you don't know it's criminal. Everybody's jealous of my Nelson, but you ain't got proof. Besides, it's none of your business, and you're breaking and entering.
Hold on, now, hold on. Who said anything about your Nelson?
Hey, we never mentioned him.
You mean they ain't his errands?
Oh, no. But what made you think that...
Well, when he come down here in his new shooting brick and collected up my belongings, I thought the errands must have got mixed up with my stuff. Well, he's such a lot of interest as my Nelson.
Well, tinned fish ain't one of them. Why didn't you ring him up?
Well, I tried, but, well, you know what he's like. He disappears for months on end. Paris, Shanghai, south of France.
We know. Anyway, the bloke responsible for your little mystery only got as far as Liverpool before he was arrested.
Eh? Richmond, ex-manager at Grey Gables.
Oh. You see, Walter, I remembered herrings on toast used to be served in the staff canteen at Grey Gables.
Fridays, alternating with fish fingers and parsley sauce.
Well, we knew Richmond pinched a load of stuff before he flipped.
And it seems he was using that old shack near the lodge as a sort of private storeroom.
Shack? Yeah, ain't that where I kept me bits of special wood?
Exactly.
Oh.
Well, all you need do now, Walter, is hand over the evidence to Colin Drury and say thank you to Tom.
Oh, yes, I'm very grateful, Tom.
No, I don't mean thank you for solving the mystery of your tinned fish.
Go on, show it to him, George.
Here you are. One print of when did you last see your father?
Me famous picture.
I'm afraid some field mice have been nesting in it.
Oh, no.
But perhaps the Daily Mail will send you another copy. Wasn't it one of their giveaways in about 1930?
No.
And do you mean you decided to take a holiday? Just like that?
Why not? You did last weekend.
Oh, I know, Lillian, but I had a reason.
I just felt like a few days in Ambridge turning. See how the stables are doing. Have a good gossip with Jennifer. By the way, what's all this about a sexy milk recorder?
Trust Jennifer not to waste any time.
You're the one who hasn't been wasting time from what I hear. Is she very pretty?
Yes. I mean, no. Look, there's nothing between us.
Oh, Pat, not me.
I hope you're not upsetting Ralph coming away like this. I mean, what about bridge with the Harrisons?
That's every fortnight. And our life isn't that dull, even if you thought it was.
If you say not.
You came at a bad time. Here, I've brought you a letter.
Hmm?
From Ralph. He spent all day yesterday on the phone to his London agent, Sir Andrew Sinclair. I spent the afternoon at Moulin Wet with James. It really is a lovely day. Well?
He says, if I can show him I can afford to pay an economic rent, I can have the tenancy of Bridge Farm.
Well, now, haven't you got a clever sister?
The Archers, written by William Smethers, script editor Charles Lefeu, was produced in our Birmingham studios by Tony Shryan.